May I speak in the name of God? Of God, the lover, the beloved, and the love share. Amen. A somewhat startling way to begin this morning. Our minds are story-making machines. And it's the thickness and thinness of the stories that matter. The meaning and purpose of life comes to us through the stories that we tell. Meaning is missed and purpose is squandered when we get locked into telling the wrong story. I refer to stories in the plural because while we really have only one life story, we have many different ways to tell it, depending on the life stage we reach or the context in which we find ourselves. The story changes as we edit and re-edit elements of our history. Some remembered, some misremembered, others suppressed and seemingly forgotten. Our experience of living in the expanse of time and space is structured around the stories that we tell, and it's through the story that the world around us is given shape, meaning, and purpose. And the question that we need to ask about stories is not, are they true or false? We need to ask, are they thick or thin? You see, thick stories are made up of the interweaving of multiple strands, weaving a rich technicolor picture of experience that fosters human flourishing by giving us lots of room for growth. Thin stories, by contrast, weave a threadbare monochrome picture of experience, a picture that is too small for our needs, often too fear-driven, confirming us and stifling our ability to thrive. It's the thickness and the quality of the stories that we tell that matter. On Wednesday of this week, we reached a turning point, a juncture in the current cycle of the resurgence of a very thin story of our national life. This is a story of domination. It's not a story of flourishing. It's a story driven by fear, a story in which the thin strands of misremembered nostalgia are woven together to form a fearful story, which is a story of domination. And that domination is empowered and maintained through violence, fear that is stoked by conspiracy. And this is not a new story for America. It's a recurring one, periodically resurfacing during times of change as a conduit for the repressed paranoia of our collective national consciousness. And this week, we saw a final showdown, at least in the current cycle of resurgence, between a thin rendition of our national story and the thick and abiding story of the Constitution. For many of us over the past 4 years, we have come to wonder when the final showdown would arrive, as we knew that it must. the thick story of our national identity given to us by the Constitution, would it prevail in the face of the paranoid imbued strands of a thin story of domination and oppression, supported by the violence inherent in all forms of despotism? And to our relief, we discovered yet again that thick stories prevail, because they show us a more fruitful way for the remembrance of our past to become our future reshaped. In 1792, the father of the nation, George Washington, delivered these words in his farewell address to Congress. The very idea of the power and the right of the people to establish government presupposes the duty of every individual to obey the established government. All obstructions to the execution of the laws, all combinations and associations under whatever plausible character, with the real design to direct, control, counteract, or awe the regular deliberation and action of the constituted authorities, are destructive of this fundamental principle and of fatal tendency. They serve to organize faction, to give it an artificial and extraordinary force, to put in the place of the delegated will of the nation the will of a party, often a small but artful and enterprising minority of the community, and according to the alternate triumphs of different parties, to make the public administration the mirror of the ill-concerted and incongruous projects of faction, rather than the organ of consistent and wholesome plans digested by common councils and modified by mutual interests. However combinations or associations of the above description may now and then answer popular ends, they are likely, in the course of time and things, to become potent engines by which cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men will be enabled to subvert the power of the people and to usurp for themselves the reins of government, destroying afterwards the very engines which have lifted them to unjust dominion. And we catch more than a glimpse behind Washington's words of the story that is our Constitution. You see, the Constitution is like the Bible, and it's often mischaracterized as a document. But in reality, the Constitution is merely the transcription of a very thick story, giving shape and substance to the picture of a republic of citizens empowered to elect their own government according to the guiding principles of their founding story. And between our thick and thin national stories, it may often seem the contest is a close-run thing. This week, we once again witnessed how the thickness of our founding story preserved a picture of national life characterized by equality in diversity against the attacks of an increasingly and undisguised thin alternative. And I've noted the events of this past week to demonstrate how stories operate in our national life, and how crucial it is which stories we give allegiance to. You see, our choice is everything. The Christian calendar plays havoc with the chronology of time. And so today we arrive at the baptism of Jesus, having only a mere week or so ago celebrated his birth and infancy. And today, in the celebration of Jesus' baptism, a story reported by all three of the synoptic gospel writers. Yet whereas Matthew and Luke begin their gospels with the story of Jesus' birth, it is Mark who begins with Jesus. Seemingly out of the mists of childhood and adolescence, striding onto the center of the world stage, a fully grown man. A man who has come to begin the active phase of God's purpose for him. And in the beginning of his baptism, Mark offers us a different story lens through which to view Jesus. Mark's Jesus is not born into divine sonship. He is chosen through adoption into his divine identity as son. We tell our individual stories differently depending on the influences of time and context. And we can emphasize our identity through birth, and for some, such as members of dynastic families, privileged classes, and elites, it is birth, the birth story, that is the primary source of identity. Yet for most of us, our identity is formed and shaped not by birth, but by adoption. We become ourselves through multiple experiences of adoption, and each adoption experience shapes us as persons, enabling us to become more and more the persons we have always been destined to become. But the telling of the story and the choosing of the story is what makes the difference. The human Jesus at his baptism is adopted by God as the divine Son. The story of this event conjures images of the dramatic tearing open of the heavens as the Holy Spirit descends, the divine breath of God breathing into Jesus and loudly proclaiming his sonship. An action that echoes the images given to us in our first reading this morning from Genesis, where the wind, the breath of God, swept over the face of the waters. And the story of the Constitution is the foundational story of our nation. The baptism of Jesus is, in a very special way, the foundational story for Christians. As he was adopted by baptism into his inheritance as the divine Son, so through him we too have been adopted by baptism as daughters and sons of God. As God chose and embraced Jesus, so through our baptism God chooses and embraces us as the divine children. And like Jesus, we bring God great pleasure. And as the breath of God enters into us, we become renewed and empowered as Jesus was, to fulfill the purpose God calls us to. Stories articulate the core themes of identity. And this past week's political drama represents the struggle over which story will we allow to define our identity as a nation. Which story will we draw upon to tell us who we are? And through the story to which we give our ultimate allegiance, we rediscover and confirm that identity over and over again in response to the new as well as some very old challenges. And there are times, as this past week has revealed to us, when the outcome of competing and conflicting stories within us can be a very close-run thing indeed. Amen.